information on what's going on in the community theater scene. We will focus on all of the community theaters, but also, as today we'll emphasize, the schools. We have an amazing community of youth theater, both in the Champaign Park districts and also through our schools. And today we're going to highlight all of those because, as I've been advertising online, it is, a lot of people in town think it's running marathon week, and I think it's theater marathon week. We've got six shows going on in town right now. As we focused on last week at the theater, Stupid Effing Bird continues its great run. I have a full review online on our Facebook page, and you can see that at the station tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, and there should be a Sunday matinee as well. It's a fantastic show. It's a take on Chekhov's The Seagull, and some of the best local actors in town are there. We also have opening night tonight at Twin City Theater, the Sodu Theater. The Twin City Theater Company is opening with On the Exhale. Dustin Yoakam is directing a one-woman show with Kimmy Schofield in it. I will have them on the show next week. It is it's a really powerful show about gun violence and how, and the feeling of power and powerlessness that comes along with it. Tune in next week for even more information on that. Also, you can go to Central High School, where Sound of Music, which really needs no description, is being performed. They have shows today, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 7, Saturday at 7, and then a Sunday matinee. In the studio with me today is the Champaign Central drama teacher, LaDonna Wilson. Welcome to see you at the show, LaDonna.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I was lucky enough to come to the Champaign Central Theater, I guess it's the Decker Theater, last night.
For a little while longer.
All right, for opening night of your show. And I'm just now turning up the mic. I don't know if I had LaDonna on before. I'm here with the director of 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at Champaign Central Theater Company. So, LaDonna, this isn't so much like The Sound of Music, where everybody knows what it's about.
Correct.
What can you tell us about the general plot of the 25th Annual Putnam Spelling Bee?
Well, this was actually based off an improv show that someone saw, and then they decided to make this into a musical. They also watched a bunch of children at the National Spelling Bee and saw how entranced and dedicated they were to their craft and how kind of obsessive they became about it. So they kind of created some really great characters at a spelling bee, and we get to see kind of the internal workings of their mind as they're preparing to spell at this kind of high stakes competition to them, since that they're at the county spelling bee, not just the school level.
Okay. I talked to a couple of the people in the cast yesterday, and the first question I asked them was whether they'd seen the movie Spellbound. And well, they said that you'd mentioned it to them,
yes.
But at least...
it wasn't available for us.
Like, really?
Yeah, it used to be available like on Netflix, or I could buy it on Amazon Prime. I would have totally shown it to them.
All right.
I could not find a copy of it for
Well,
them.
I told Ricky and Emma that I might have like a viewing party of it, because I actually own a copy.
It's amazing.
Because the director, Jeff Blitz, went to grad school with my wife. And so I kind of have like a little,
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's like it gets to my heart every time I watch it too. Like I get invested in them.
Just when you said that, you can see across the table here, I got actual goosebumps.
Yes.
They're so neat. He got so lucky. It's kind of like the basketball movie Hoop Dreams.
Yeah.
You start following kids at an early stage. You don't know if they're going to even make it to nationals, much less have such a compelling story. So I wasn't going to do much homework on this, but I actually saw that there was a playwright or a musical writer who asked Jeff Blitz if he could have the rights to do a musical Spellbound.
Wow,
and Blitz sat on it for a year, and as he was sitting on it, Putnam came.
And
then it would just be redundant. Yes. So they just went away. Because really, I actually would not have been surprised when I looked it up just to find that, okay, in fact, this is exactly based on Spellbound. Because when I was watching those characters and I was seeing, okay, the eccentricities, I guess, would you say that they have? Yeah. And issues.
Yes. I think that's the wonderful thing about this play is it could kind of just do a surface kind of, you know, roasting of these characters, but actually we get to really see the heart of them and why they are feeling the need to be so anxious about what's happening, you know. So,
and there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of physical comedy, or at least decent amount of physical comedy. Yeah. Actually, it would be so fun to be in the show, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's some great roles for kids to have. And you seem to have gotten really lucky with the kids that were coming up at the time for this show. As a high school director, does that, when you know kind of who your crop of actors are, does that kind of affect your decision making?
I generally choose my season based on my seniors. It doesn't mean they're going to get the parts, but I want to make sure that I have a show that could highlight pretty much all the people who've dedicated their time. And then sometimes they surprise me. Sometimes, like, I have a few sophomores that just stepped up to the plate on this one. They just surprised me. Leif Koneybeare, playing by Ethan Osmondson, he's just been just such a joy because he just has just abandoned himself and allowed this vulnerability that little children have, that they have no sense of, you know, being judged by other people at times. And he just plays that so well, you can't help but just fall in love with them.
Right. Yeah, you do have, I mean, most of the kids that I know in the show are in that sophomore class, like Ricky Wilberg.
Emma,
and then is Maddie also, is she a sophomore or a junior?
Maddie Henson's a junior and Maddie Brown's a senior.
Okay. And then also Will Curtis is somebody that, his look is just fantastic.
Thank
he reminded
you.
Me of the Judd Nelson character from Breakfast Club. He looks a lot like him. And in fact, they should do a Breakfast Club musical.
That would
I mean,
be fun. A lot of it would be
shoot, I shouldn't have said
across
that,
the stage.
I shouldn't have said that on the radio because I have so many millions of listeners. Somebody is certainly going to take my idea for the Breakfast Club musical. But anyway, it's as a fan of not just the movie, as a fan of the Spelling Bee generally, I just really liked the vice principal. Is that who
yes.
he is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he actually reminds me of the Dr. Bailey, the guy who is the guy on the who does all the word reading, and he's just perfect.
Yeah.
And there's so many things about it that I loved, and I'm still smiling about it. And then I really didn't expect kind of the emotional. Like, I don't know, there was only one time when I was emotionally kind of hit, and that was the I Love You song.
Yes, I just think it's such a beautifully written song. So it builds us up to, like, find out about all these characters, and some of their stories are, you know, angsty, but that one, it just, I feel like, is the gut punch, that you get to that one and find out, yes, all these kids have dedicated themselves, but this little girl has dedicated herself to the dictionary because her parents are pretty much absent parents.
I know.
So she has this imaginary song about singing to her parents, and they're singing back, but they're not really there. And the song, it's a, you know,
yeah,
it's all imaginary, so.
It's a really hard song, and especially to know that it's imaginary, and just to imagine, and to think of this is where a kid's mind would go in that situation.
Right.
And the boy who sung in that song, is that all that he did in the show?
He was also Chip.
Oh, okay.
So, but Chip gets out pretty early on, and then he's just one of the extras. So,
yeah.
But that's Ian Wilkie, and he's been a lead in many of our shows. In fact, he's going to be Jesus in our upcoming Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
He's a phenomenal singer.
Because I was going to say, the guy needs more.
Yeah, definitely.
Stuff
he already had a couple solos as Chip, and then he's that part two, and he's going to have a lot in Jesus Christ Superstar coming up. He was Tevye. Like, he's been all of those roles. So.
Oh, yeah. I saw him as Tevye. He was, okay. Well, that's a lot of versatility.
Hard to recognize him as that, right?
It totally is. But that's exciting that he's got other great roles coming up. And he and Maddie, they harmonized so well together, and they just sounded great. I mean,
and
it would be...
And Anya, who's playing Olive, I feel like when she just belted out those mamas, you're just like, oh, as a mama, it got to me every time.
Yeah. That was just really unexpected, because some of her story was kind of played kind of comically about the money and this. And we won't give away too many plot points with our limited time, because you've actually got a show tonight, right?
We do, yes.
And so now that we've got people excited to see the show, how can they see it? When can they see it?
Well, it's tonight through Saturday at 7. It's Sunday at 2:30. It costs $10 for adults and $7 for students. And we just sell tickets at the door. We don't really sell them in advance. We have a pretty big theater. It's hard to sell out that big place. But it's really something I think people would be surprised by. The talent is great. Like, the singing is really great. And we got a nice grant from Rotary this year, and now have enough mics for everybody. So the sound is amazing, which in the past has been a problem at Central. So
I actually made a note to ask you if there was something new about the sound in there, because it was wonderful. And
yeah,
I don't know.
We fixed an old speaker. We didn't buy a new one, because we'll have a new building in a couple years. But we were able to do that with a Rotary grant, and a couple parents funded some things. So I feel like the sound is the best it's been in years.
That's great. I thought so as well. One thing I also didn't know about is there's a lot of sign language used by the cast throughout, and I don't understand.
That was just
understand
really
why.
Me.
Really?
Yeah. Because
it almost, like, you almost it's part of the choreography.
Mm-hmm. I've done the show twice before. I directed it, and I played Rona once in an acting class.
Oh, fun.
And so it's my choreographer and I just love the show so much. And so we each challenged ourselves to bring new things to the show this time that we hadn't done in the past. And one of my things was that spelling is in a lot of different ways. And so as they had their idiosyncrasies, right, that one thing is that they're spelling it out sometimes on their arm or on their feet, so they're looking at it visually. So being able to spell it in sign language would help them visually.
Yeah, that is a big part of it. And that actually is something that you see in the Spellbound movie, too, is the ways that people use their hands or say it out loud, and it's
that visualization, I think, was a big thing for many of the kids, as I've seen the spelling bee.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's neat to know that the sign language was your twist. And the choreographer, that's Sarah Moore, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or Schmoor?
Schmoor, the kids call her. She's my bestie.
I know. Well, when my son first was in a show that she choreographed, and he was calling her Schmoor, I was like, yeah. No, look, I don't know what you kids call her, but, you know, we really have to keep this professional here. And he goes, no, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, her maiden name was Schwartz. And then she got married and it was Moore. And it just felt weird. So it kind of became Schmoor. And it kind of stayed that way.
Well, morphs are cool. And we're going to be, later I'm going to be talking with somebody who's in the Champaign Park District Youth Show. One of the reasons that I know the kids in the show is because they've come up through the Park District program.
Many of ours have, yeah.
And so I just kind of think, and one of the reasons it's fun to do this show is because I also do adult theater, and I see kids that have come out of the high schools into the adult theater. So there really is, in this community we have here, not just opportunities to see great theater at all sorts of different levels, but also for the kids to develop it and parents to put their kids into, just expose them to something. And that's why I think it would be great to go out and see the show at Central, because as a former student of Central, I didn't go to enough shows, and I would have been bitten a lot earlier by the bug if I would have gone earlier. So take your kids. I don't think is what would you say age appropriate wise for the show?
I mean, there's some innuendo, but honestly, I would say it's PG.
That's what I would have thought, the same thing too, and keep putting them.
Yes. She had mentioned that she was going to do that before, but she added some things to that last night. There's a different monologue every night, by the way. So she wrote that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, super talented kids. For the first time in a long time, I actually cut people for this show. You know, one of my things about educational theater is give a lot of opportunity, but I kind of kept some of the best singers this time, like the triple threat, singing, dancing, because everybody had to tap.
Right.
And so this one was, I feel like it has a lot of talent up there.
Well, it certainly does. And I hope people go see it. Congratulations on
another
great show. I know that a bunch of kids are coming to see it on Sunday, and maybe I'll come with them.
That'd be awesome.
Congratulations, and thanks for stopping by.
No problem.
All right. Okay, that's our breaking news music. We do have breaking news. Just yesterday, the station theater released its summer show list. and it's exciting. You can go online and find it. You can go on to our See You at the Show page and find it. But the breaking news is that there are auditions already posted, and they're coming up fast. So Monday, April 29th, if you want to be in William Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, directed by the brilliant Laura Alcantara, you need to be ready and sign up and go to the Station Theater, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. It's already on April 29th, and the reason it's so accelerated is because the show itself is going to be opening the first week of June. So hopefully all you great Shakespearean actors in the community have left your summer schedule open enough so that you're available for the show. Laura is a fantastic director. You want to work with her. You want to perform at the Station, Shakespeare at the Station. That is just kind of a perfect combination. So mark your calendars, sign up online. There's a Facebook event page for it that you can find either if you go at the Station or just in the search bar for The Taming of the Shrew. It will come up. That's a breaking audition. The also, as you learned from last week's show, CUTC Wizard of the Oz auditions are coming up April 27th and 28th, which I believe is Saturday and Sunday. So you can go to cutheaterco.org and you can sign up and get information on when the adult interviews are, the adult auditions and the kid auditions are. All right, I had the chance, we just got done talking about the high school play. There's a middle school play, Aladdin, at Franklin Steam Academy. I had a chance to catch up with Wade Schacht, who's playing Aladdin, and Langston Spann, who is playing Jafar, and here's what they had to say.
Hey, Wade and Langston, thanks for joining us on See You at the Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we are talking on Thursday afternoon, and we're just a few hours from opening night of Aladdin at Franklin Steam Academy.
You can go.
This must be a really exciting time.
We are very excited.
We are.
So Aladdin is a pretty classic show. I don't think we need to go through plot points, but why don't you tell me who you play and what it's like to be that character.
All right, so I am Aladdin. And you might think, oh, it's Disney, it's just, you know, Aladdin runs around, suddenly becomes a prince. No, it's a lot more complicated than that. Aladdin is a very different sort of character. He's not your Prince Charming. He starts as a street rat, as people would say, and works his way up to prince. And that's really it's a fun transformation to play. I have two different costumes that look incredibly different, and that really represents the change in the show.
Okay, and now Langston, this evolution that Aladdin is making is something that doesn't please your character very much.
Not at all. I play Jafar in the show, who's the main villain. Jafar constantly tries to keep Aladdin and every other prince from marrying Jasmine so that he can become Sultan. Jafar himself is a very fun role to play. It's my first time playing a villain. And I'm hoping that it won't be my last. It's such an interesting experience that I'm glad I got to enjoy.
What do you like about being a villain?
It gives you this, like, incredible sense of power of the show. You get to control the show, which way it goes, how it's going to end, even though we all know how it's going to end in the end, especially for a Disney show.
Right.
I think Langston definitely brings a layer of intricacy to Jafar that a lot of people wouldn't really expect. He's not just your typical bad guy. He's got layers.
Well, that's going to be fun, because I think when we go to a show that we know, we expect to see characters in a way that we know them. And so is that a challenge to you to bring your own self into a known character?
It can be. When people come and they're expecting to see Aladdin running around the stage, jumping all over the place, they expect to see Aladdin. They don't expect to see some guy's rendition of Aladdin. Whereas people who are coming to see, or not coming to see, but when people see people like my friends, they're not like, oh, why is he doing that? Why isn't he acting like the Aladdin's friends I know? So it can be complicated to play a known character.
Mm-hmm. Same with Jafar. You have to think outside the box for his character, and most people, when they see it, they're like, I don't remember that. You don't see the same actions that he does in the show at all.
So I've seen you two on stage a going back to Park District at on the Stratton stage in third grade.
Right.
And in that show, Wade, you were the villain trying to stop Langston from having a happy, victorious love life. And I guess, right? You actually became...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in Aristocats...
It's actually pretty comparable because he was the grungy street rat.
Yeah, and Thomas O'Malley.
Mm-hmm. Alley cat.
Yeah, and went on to become a step-parent, which is a whole... There should be a whole sequel about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for another day.
Yes.
So who are the teachers or other people that helped you put the show together?
Well, our director is Christine Tabor, which we give a huge thanks to. We could not have done this show without you.
Never.
You have been, like, she's been doing just amazing things with the show. She has been constantly changing our schedule so that everybody can make it. She has been adding time through rehearsals so that we can get things done. It's opening night, and she is stoked for us, and at the same time that she is very nervous. But it's a good nerve. It's a good nerve. Everyone has this nerve today. But a lot of people who say she's stressed, we all know that she's just trying to make sure that we are going full on wonderfully, and we can thank her greatly for that.
I also take this time to bring up our other directors. We had Jasmine Henderson as our vocal director. She was amazing. Without her, I don't know what my harmonies in a whole new world would sound like, but it would not be pretty. But it'll be pretty tonight, don't worry. Then Heather Cameron, who did a lot of costumes, Amanda Wise, who was an assistant director, and I'm forgetting somebody, aren't I? Oh, Whitney Havice, who was an amazing choreographer. We definitely could not have done the show without her. It would have been a struggle.
So this Whitney. Isn't characters just standing around the stage. We're going to see some dancing tonight.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah. And how many cast members would you say are in the show altogether?
30? I don't know.
35, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
It's somewhere in that range.
Within that, yeah.
Yeah.
30, maybe 40, between that.
And then a lot more tech. Tech was a problem about a week ago, but at this point, we've really gotten the show together. And a lot of that, I don't know, Langston, if you want to talk more about the working that brings the show together.
The work brought a lot of atmosphere of the show together. It gave us an entire different outlook on each other. We had to do multiple work days every single day. Or we had to work together to make the costumes. We had to help Miss Cameron make the costumes. We had to help paint things such as my snake staff or just something as simple as the Baklava Vox.
Which that took a surprisingly long amount of time.
Mm-hmm, but it's
shout out to Yan for his amazing painting.
Oh, Bob Ross much.
I've seen your staff. Now that is a fabulous, menacing prop. You said you feel power as the villain. I bet some of it just comes from holding that.
Yes, it really brings up, like, it makes me feel like I'm standing, like, much straighter. I'm walking slowly, I'm walking like I have power, like I don't care, but I have a purpose. And I'm using that purpose.
When I run on stage and I see Langston holding that thing, I just want to leave.
I assume that they probably wouldn't allow you just to walk around school with the staff on a regular day.
They may, but if I did, it'd probably...
That could add some swagger to your social life, maybe?
One of the two. And
I think they'd be scared to try and take it from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned before that you both have acted together, but this is only your second show at Franklin. Where has your acting been prior to this?
Champaign Park District, CPD, if you might want to call it that. That was a bit weird. But Patty Dudley is an amazing director, and I've had her since, what, fourth grade? She didn't do our first show, but after that, she's been an amazing director.
I have had Miss Patty since I was 5 years old. She is, like, in a way, a secondary family to me. I love whenever I hear that she's directing a show, which is most times, thankfully. Every single time that we do a CPD show, I'm always there. I'm always asking Patty, is there anything I can help with? Is there any time I could come in and help you with this? She always says no. But
thanks a lot, Wade and Langston, for dropping by. That's just a perfect segue to go into the chance that I had to go over to the Virginia earlier this week and actually speak with Patty Dudley herself. We've heard about her both in the context of a lot of her former students doing high school work and now we've heard middle school work, and let's see what she has to say herself about the CPD Kids Music Man show that's happening at the Virginia Theater, also opening tonight. So much going on in town.
This is Eric Schacht with See You at the Show. I'm here at the Virginia Theater with Patty Dudley, the director of Music Man Kids, as well as actor Nolan Abbott, and we are talking about their upcoming production, which opens this weekend here at the Virginia.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Eric.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, this is always a fun time to put all the elements together for the show that you've been working on for about 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So we're excited to see it all come together with the kids in their costumes. Tonight we do makeup and hair and costumes.
So we're talking on Tuesday night. Now, when does the show open?
The show opens Thursday at 7. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, 7 o'clock performances. But we also have a 2 o'clock matinee here at the Virginia Theater.
So there are 4 shows all together?
Correct. And you can get tickets online if you'd like at thevirginia.org, or you can come to the box office the night of the show and get your tickets. It is reserved seating.
Okay, so how has the show been going so far for you?
We had a great night last night. A lot of kids that are on the stage have never been on the stage before, so we had a lot of kind of preliminary teaching of them to know stage left, stage right, just staging things. Nolan, you're one of them, right? Is this your first show?
This is my first show, so it's very interesting that it's interesting to me that as one of the first ones to do a show here, like, I'm new to this. It's kind of surprising me just a little that I got picked as Harold Hill. So it's just a little surprising to me because I expected maybe, like, I don't know, mayor or something.
I don't believe I caught your name.
Don't believe I dropped it.
Nice! We did not practice that, but I wanted to throw it at the kid. Now that's why you got
that's
the lead,
Nolan.
That's
why he got the lead. He's sharp.
That is sharp. So I was thinking, like, okay, since we're just doing one take, I was thinking maybe I'll tell Nolan that I'm going to do a little thing from the show to see if he can catch it. And he got it. All right. So his name is Nolan Abbott, and his character is Harold Hill. And what do you think of Harold?
I think he's a pretty interesting guy because in the movies he's like the good guy and the main character, but he's also a bad guy because he's a swindler and he swindles and he tries to get money off people and scam them. But in the end he turns good and is actually able to eventually lead a band, like in 76 Trombones, where it says 76 Trombones led the big parade and like that. And so that's what interests me, is that he's a bad guy that turns into a good guy. And it's just interesting to follow him around with his personality.
So there's an evolution in this show. Yeah. Even in just 30 minutes, you're able to evolve.
It's very interesting in my opinion. I like it a lot.
Well, Patty, I remember when you were kind of promoting this show during Freaky Friday in the spring, when you would say, yes, I am really doing Music Man for kids.
In 30 minutes.
Now, is this one of the more ambitious shows that you've done for kids of this age?
I think so. The music is trickier with the timing, and there are harmonies. Sometimes kids this age can't do harmonies, but don't tell me they can't, because I've heard them do it many, many times, and if you expect a lot from them, they'll give you a lot in the way that they try and perform. If you tell them you can't do harmonies, they won't. If you say, hey, you can do those harmonies, they will. And that's kind of my philosophy all the way around with theater. But as far as the challenge goes, not really, because it's written for this age group. And so the challenge is to try to get the story across, which is a lot more involved than what this shows. But it's a darling, darling show as far as telling the story. And the kids are all in adult clothes.
Oh,
and
nice.
You just so start smiling.
So you have period clothes then?
We do.
I read a review of the kids' show, and they described this as a good old-fashioned romance. So would you say, Nolan, that there is romance in the air with you and Marion?
Yes, because what happens is I try and just normally do what I do. I swindle people, but then I meet Marion, and trying, like Marcella said one time, like I said one time, to keep her off balance, I kind of start to get to like her. And so in the end, when Marion tells me to go, I can't because I kind of like her now. thing is, there's not like kissing or anything except for one bit, but it's kind of like a fake kiss.
Yeah.
And that's not between me and Marion. It's just hugs, kind of. And hugs, when I get to school, I'm kind of like a hug person. I like getting hugs. And so getting a hug just kind of comes usual to me. So if it's in a romance, it's a little different, but like, it's still, a hug is a hug. It's just in a different setting.
I like that. That could be on a bumper sticker. A hug is a hug.
All right. So that was Nolan Abbott with Patty Dudley in The Music Man.